Hey there, I want to invite you to join me for the Strategic Summer Workshop, which is taking place on Thursday, May 30th at 11:30 Eastern. You can go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer to sign up. In this workshop, I'm going to walk you through how to identify simple solutions and systems that will make a massive difference and ripple effect inside of your center. I'm going to help you create efficiency where you need it most and understand what is causing your school to feel so hectic and where those big pain points are. We're going to clarify your center's priority system to improve this summer. I'm going to show you how to audit those systems. We're going to define your desired outcomes, and you're going to leave the workshop with a simple plan that will make huge impact. And by simple, I mean very simple. No complex, no multi-step processes, super, super simple. No one has time for long things. No one has brain capacity for extra stuff. We need simple things that have massive impact. Go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer and I'll see you there.
Welcome to the Schools of Excellence podcast, where we have conversations about education, leadership, and building a school of excellence. The goal on this show is to bring you clarity, up-level your mindset, and give you practical strategies and inspiration so you can show up with confidence and trust your decision-making. I'm Chani Olshansky. I'm a mom of four under 10, a former New Yorker, and been in the early childhood field my entire life. And I'm so grateful that you've joined me for this conversation.
Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of the Schools of Excellence podcast. I am really excited about today's conversation because I think this is something I talk about all the time, and now I'm finally creating its own episode, which is all about respecting the season of life that you're in. So in my work with working with directors, assistant directors, owners, executive managers, regional leaders, big CEOs of huge corporations and franchises across America and really across the globe, every time I'm interacting with a client, one of the first questions I'll always ask is, what season of life are you in? Because understanding the season of life that the person is navigating while they're also leading this child care facility, no matter if it's a home daycare or they're running a multi-site operation, respecting the season of life that you're in really allows for grace, for peace, and for real optimal performance to play itself out during that season. So what does it mean to respect the season of life that you're in? It starts with really the acknowledgement that every stage of life invites a different season. And knowing what season you're in really allows you to, without any guilt, without shame, without regret, without all the, you know, extra monkey chatter that exists inside of our head, it allows us to intentionally choose priorities and intentionally choose our focus and how we manage our energy and our time during that season. So I remember a particular season of life where I was waking up, you know, at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was working on some really big projects. This is kind of the early stages of the business. And I would work on some big projects. I would write content. I would reply to emails. I would do like a lot of different things. And then I had my baby, Yossi. He's 6 years old at this time. But when I had him, I was like kind of in the beginning stages of the business, like a year and a half, 2 years in. And when I had my baby and I was in the new season of a new baby, I wasn't waking up at 5 a.m. because guess what? I was also waking up at 12, at 2, at 3, at 4, at 6, right? I was waking up every hour and a half to 2 hours. And so I was not setting an alarm for 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, when we moved here to Florida, there was also a particular, like a short season where I was also waking up really early and kind of working on some big projects. And then I entered a season where I was really struggling with a lot of health issues. And so I was not setting an alarm clock for 5 o'clock in the morning. I was waking up at 6:30 and I was giving my body more time to rest because it needed that. And I'm slowly kind of coming out of that season now, and we'll see how I'll adjust my morning schedule. But I'm showing you that in just sharing some of these examples, life ebbs and flows into all these different areas. And knowing the season of life that you're in is really, really important. I find that a lot of school leaders work in terms of dichotomies, right? Either one story was true or the opposite story was true. And leadership really teaches you that multiple truths can exist at the exact same time. I'll say that again. Multiple truths can exist at the exact same time. And a lot of life rides on the tension between coexisting conflicting viewpoints. This is some of the paradoxes of life. I did a whole series on the paradoxes of school leadership, which also really lends itself a lot into the paradoxes of life. And when you're entering a particular season, avoiding the terms when this will happen, then this will happen, we want to be able to recognize that different seasons require an intensity or a pulling back. And when we miss the mark, or we are kind of over-engineering something, we live with a lot of regret and shame around, you know, what happened here? Like, how come I didn't capitalize on that specific season? So what I want to do in this episode, different from kind of other episodes that I've done, is I actually want to dedicate a lot of this episode to reflective questions, because I find more than anything that me just talking and kind of sharing experiences is one thing, but giving you guys some really concrete questions to reflect on can really help you understand what season am I in right now. So I'm going to divide this into four seasons that I find a lot of leaders can find themselves in during different points of their journey. So there are seasons of grief and loss, grief losing a loved one after many years or suddenly losing a loved one, seasons of grief and loss when you are navigating a season of hiring and firing, or your employee of 15 to 20 years just decided to leave. There's all these different types of seasons and grief and loss. I'm going to create some context around that. Another season of life that exists within childcare is the season of raising young children. Many, many childcare directors and owners are growing their companies at the exact same time that they're raising their young children. And so knowing the season of life that you're in helps you respect the limitations and the boundaries that you want to put in during a particular precious season of life. Another season that I find many leaders finding themselves in is a health challenge season. So a season when either their physical health is challenged or a loved one's physical health is challenged. And they're navigating a lot of health issues while they are trying to grow and scale their companies. And another season that many, many leaders find themselves in is the season of aging parents and caretaking. So a season where your parents are not doing as well, or loved ones, or whatever it is, and you're in a season of caretaking. So the reason I chose these four buckets is because I find these four buckets to be the most dominant of the ones that I see inside of this industry when I'm either coaching with clients or going in for leadership days or speaking at events. People will typically find themselves in one of these four buckets in the childcare space during their seasons of being a childcare leader. So let's start with the season of grief and loss. Again, anytime I share stories, I change the name, I change some identifying factors to protect the privacy and integrity of our clients, but all of these stories are real and true. These really happen, okay? So we had a client, I'm going to call her Jordan, and she lost her father in a terrible car accident. Her father was perfectly healthy and well, of sound body and mind, and she woke up in the morning and she heard the news that her father had passed away in this horrific car accident. And so after the original shock of, you know, having that settle in and taking some time off of work, she found work to actually really be this great distraction from everything that was going on in her life. And she really poured herself into work in overload. And then the wheels started to come off and she started to find herself being really distracted at work and getting really irritable at these little things that used to not bother her, but now they bothered her. She found herself struggling with following through on things that she usually was good at following through on, and now she just let it fall by the wayside. And she was really struggling to be her former self. And that's what she kept saying. Anytime I got on a call with her, I was checking in with her. She's like, I miss being myself. I miss being myself. I just want to get back to myself. And this is one of the hardest parts of navigating a season of grief and loss, is understanding that you're no longer that former version of yourself. When you go through a season of grief and loss, that old version of yourself doesn't exist anymore. You are birthing a whole new part of yourself. Because a person who doesn't have a parent is a very different person than a person who does have a parent. It's a completely different existence. And so we can't compare those two worlds. And this is why I obsess over season of life, because we get so caught up in like, well, I just need to get back to normal. I just need to get back to myself. Everyone's waiting for me to just get back to myself. What world have we created that we cannot allow for the birthing, the evolution, and the reinventions of our humanity that exists in the what it means to just have a human experience? And this concept of waiting for the person to come back to their former self, as opposed to what is going to be birthed out of this experience? What is going to be birthed out of this challenge, out of this really, really painful situation, is a better question to be asking. So I want to share with you some questions that if you're listening to this episode and you are going through a season of grief, a season of loss, however you're defining a season of grief and loss during this time, I want to give you some questions that will help you get anchored into respecting this season. So my first question is, what emotions am I currently experiencing in this season of grief? Really stop for a second and ask yourself, what are the emotions that are coming up? What are you actually feeling about grief? How comfortable am I with allowing myself to feel and express these emotions? So sometimes we are afraid to feel our emotions. We're afraid we're going to fall apart. We're afraid we're never going to be able to get back up again. This is the power of mental health support and really working with a professional team, a really good friend, or whatever it is. But really asking yourself the question, am I really uncomfortable with allowing myself to feel and express difficult emotions? Here's another question to ask. Who is my support system during this time of grief? When are any of our clients, and we've had so many clients go through many different seasons of grief, one of the things that I always tell a client when they're going through a season of grief, I said, I want you to be really clear and let's get super clear on our definition of support for you during this season of grief. So you're going to go through many different definitions of support. So right now you're in the shock phase. You know, support can mean just check in with me without expecting a reply. Great, we'll do that. And in 2 months from now, you actually might want us to push you a little bit to start following up on things that may have fallen during the last 2 months. Great, we'll show up for that as well. So really getting clear when we support our clients during seasons of grief, we really get clear on what does support look like during each chapter of that season, because there are many chapters in that season of grief. So that's how we define support, because we're coming from a coaching and client standpoint. But then there's other people in your support system, in your world, as you're navigating a season of grief. Here's another question. How effectively am I communicating my needs to those who want to offer support? So this is another thing to really get clear on. If you're in a season of grief, have you even communicated to the people who are there and want to support you? Have you communicated to them that you need support? And maybe you don't know what it is, and that's okay, but you're just letting them know, I feel like I need something. Are there rituals or traditions that hold significance in honoring this loss? I absolutely love rituals and traditions. We have so many inside of our household that really create this anchoring in our family values, whether that comes to holidays or specific family traditions. When you're navigating a season of loss and grief, rituals and traditions create an anchoring in a way that you can't even understand until you actually hold on to them. So really creating meaningful rituals to commemorate the person or whatever it was that you lost. Like, these are such powerful questions to be asking yourself. What specific situations or reminders trigger waves of grief? So again, when you are working in a childcare space, when you're working anywhere, but you know, I'm talking in the context of childcare and education, because that's this world, there are certain things that will trigger waves of grief for you. So asking yourself, what are those things that will trigger waves of grief inside of me? Knowing those really helps you feel a little bit more in charge of yourself. And then how can I cope with these triggers in a healthy way? Sometimes just walking down the hallway in your childcare facility will make you feel like you need to burst into tears. Greeting families at the door might trigger something. There's so many things in life that can trigger waves of grief. And as a leader, you want to be cognizant of what are those things so that you are being intentional about the responses and how you want to cope with those waves of grief that come at you. So for those of you that are in this season of grief right now, for those of you that are in this season of loss, asking yourself these questions, going back, replaying them, writing them down, journaling through them is just a beautiful invitation to honor where you are. So when I think of kind of the three buckets of the respecting of season of life. It's acceptance, it's gratitude, and it's the rebalancing of priorities. So as you're in this season of grief, accepting this is where I am in this present moment, embracing the reality of the current situation, right? It's that acceptance, it's stepping into that acceptance. The gratitude, cultivating a sense of gratitude for the experiences, for the opportunities, for whatever is happening in your life right now. And when you're in a season of grief and loss, finding gratitude is unbelievably hard. Finding those moments of gratitude for the person who sent a text message, for the person who called, for the person who made a meal, all of those things really create anchoring as you're navigating a new season. Again, these three buckets are navigating any season. Any new season that you enter, you want to revisit these three anchors: acceptance, gratitude, and rebalancing of priorities. So what does it mean, the rebalancing of priorities? It's prioritizing aspects of your life based on the current season that you're in and recognizing the priorities will shift as you move out to a new season of life. So let's go to another season here. So we just spoke about the season of grief and loss. Let's look at the season of raising young children. There are so many leaders who are listening to this episode who are raising young kids and building a business. And I'm, you know, in that season, I am raising young children. I have four young kids. My children are 6, 9, 12, and 13. And so I am in the thick of parenting. I am in the thick of raising young children. And I'm also building a business. I'm also building a really, you know, big company. And so respecting and honoring the season of life that I'm in is really, really paramount to my mental well-being. So what I mean by respecting the season of life is understanding that a season of raising young kids while you're building a business will be a season of a lot more no's than yeses. And that is really hard to accept a lot of the time, right? It's accepting that you might not be able to go to every conference that you want to go to or speak at every event that you want to go to, or take opportunities as many times as you want to. It's your time is much more limited than someone who isn't raising young kids. So here are some questions that you can ask yourself if you are in a season of raising young kids while you're building your company, or if you're a director or an assistant director, whatever role you have inside of the organization. How do I nurture and strengthen my bond with each of my children during this season? I think a lot of times when we are in business, we're only asking business-faced questions. What's the next goal? What's the next mile marker? What's the next, you know, million? All of those questions, which are all important. Set business goals. I love business goals. Those are great. And are we asking questions that reflect the season of life that we're in? How do I nurture and strengthen my bond with each of my children? How am I intentionally spending quality time with each child versus the quantity, right? How am I defining and prioritizing quality time over quantity time? When you are building a company, it's not so much about, am I spending 5 hours with my kids versus, right? So this is like the whole myth of the balanced life, right? Where you spend, you know, 15 hours at work. Okay, so now you're going to spend 15 hours with your kids. No, it's not about the quantity of time that you're spending with your kids. It's the quality of time. And the quality of time is determined based on how old are your kids, what are their needs, and what are your family values and traditions and rituals that you want to be honoring, right? What are the memories you want to be creating? Another question to ask is, what boundaries have I established to protect family time from work-related demands? When you are raising young kids, you will have work-related demands. People on your team, the families, the staff, the whoever it is going to have questions of you and have demands of you. And so the question is, what boundaries are you creating to protect family from work-related demands? I was working with an owner and she was going through a very, very difficult season during an acquisition that was going on. And she had pinged me and, you know, said she was going through a hard time and she was trying to prioritize family, you know, during this season of acquisition while she's raising young kids, right? She's in a season. She is one of her centers is being acquired, and she also has 3 young kids at home. And I said, well, what part of your family life do you feel like is getting impacted? She's like, well, I feel like I'm verbal vomiting on my husband. Like, I'm kind of, you know, brain dumping on him everything that's going on, and I don't think it's his stress to carry. I said, okay, well, that's a great awareness that you recognize that the work-related demands are coming into your marriage, are coming into this relationship that is very important to you, and you don't want the work-related demands to come in there. So asking yourself these questions help you navigate the season with a little bit more ease. Am I comfortable delegating tasks at work and seeking help when needed? How can I foster a collaborative environment that supports shared responsibilities? So a collaborative environment that supports shared responsibilities is not just about work, it's also about home. What kind of collaboration can you create with your partner or other people inside of your household that can support you where there is a more equitable sharing of responsibility? So it's not all falling on you. How do I navigate unexpected challenges and changes in my work and family life? This is probably like the biggest part of being in this season. When you are in a season of raising young kids while you're building a company, you are going to ask yourself this question probably on the daily. How will I navigate the unexpected challenges and changes, right? We call them changes in my work and family life, right? Who is going to hold that card of the glitch in the matrix? When something happens, right? The washing machine breaks, the kid has fever, someone's got to pick up the kid from school, something happened, whatever, right? Who's taking responsibility for that? That is a season that you're in, right? And so when you're in a particular season like that, you might not be able to do, I don't know, extended travel trips or what. Like, it really depends on the season of life that you're in. Next, in what ways can I cultivate flexibility and adaptability in my workday? When you're raising young kids, flexibility and adaptability is the name of the game, right? Where are you creating space for that? How do my current career goals align with my family priorities? This is something that I feel like I beat a dead horse with consistently. Like, I have so many clients who come to us and ask us about these big career goals and these big things that they want to be doing inside of their organizations. And I'm like, this is not the season for it. It's not. And again, it could be the season if you don't value family, right? So that's where the values really drive so much of this decision making. I'm like, you can go ahead and go after these things. I'm not telling you what to do. Like, you get to decide that. But if you're telling me that you value quality time with family and you value peace of mind and you value a regulated, calm, beautiful, you know, nervous system and you value time with your partner, well, that's great, but then you can't go after these other goals because that in itself of going after those goals will not allow you to honor these values. And so there's a lot of this push and pull where people are like, but I want to do this. I'm like, great, you could do this. Maybe you can't do it in this season. It might have to wait 5 years, right? Maybe you don't do it in this particular season, right? I started my business in 2016. We had a very intentional slow growth as we grew the company because I didn't work more hours just because I started a company, right? I still work part-time inside of my business, even though I'm the CEO of the company. Why? Because I value my family, my faith, our holidays, my community. There's so many things outside of the business that are so important to me. And so a lot of times, you know, I'll have conversations with partners or other people that are in business and they're like, you know, how come your business isn't like doubled or tripled? I'm like, it's very intentional. Like, if I was working 50, 60 hours a week, yeah, my business would look very, very different, but I'm not. And I'm intentionally choosing that and I love it and I'm okay with that. I'm respecting the season of life that I'm in. I'm in no rush. I want to play the decades game, right? I want to be doing this till I'm 80. Okay, great. So I have a lot of time. I'm not rushing anywhere. Right now I'm in a season of writing a book, which means I'm saying no to very intentional speaking gigs and saying yes to intentional speaking gigs because my time has become more limited again because of book writing. So understanding how your current career goals align with your family values and priorities. Do not look at other people and say, well, she's doing it. Yes. At what cost? At what cost is she opening up the 10th location? At what cost? Let me tell you something. If you value being at your kid, every one of your kids' soccer practices and not missing a game, there's certain things that you're going to have to say no to, right? You got to make choices. It's part of being a grown-up. Like, this is what it means to be adulting. It's making intentional choices about the season of life that you're in. So those are some of the questions to ask during the season of life when you're raising young children and leading a childcare facility. All right, let's go further. Season of health challenges. Okay. So we worked with several clients that have been through many different health challenges, whether that is, you know, clients that were terminally ill with cancer, clients that went through a season of just all different kinds of health scares, consistent health challenges like diabetes or high blood pressure, other health challenges, whether that's mental health struggle, that's also a health challenge. I know it's not, you know, this physical thing and everyone's like, oh, she's fine. People go through very difficult seasons of mental health challenges as well. So I'm talking about the run of the gamut here when it comes to health, not just like physical health and being sick, but mental health as well. So some questions to ask yourself, how has your health challenge affected your work performance and productivity? So when you're in finding yourself in a season where you're challenged by health, one of the questions you want to ask yourself is, where is this impacting the quality of my work, right? And again, it's not about a shaming game. It's about getting data of where is this impacting my life currently? Okay. Next question. Are there specific tasks or responsibility that have come really difficult for me to handle? So when you're in a particular season, being aware, again, going back to the first thing, right? Acceptance, accepting the fact that you're in this season. These are your health challenges. These are your struggles. And then what are some of the, tasks or responsibilities that now become difficult to handle because of the season that you're in. So sometimes when someone's in a very difficult season of depression or anxiety or anything or a physical challenge, certain things that used to be just fine, run of the hill, they're good, now become this like really heavy, arduous task. And it's like, why can't I do this? I remember we had a client who, as you get older, your eyesight gets less and less. But for this one particular client, it was kind of this like big shift. It was like one day she was seeing amazing and like the next day she like, you know, could not see. And so she ran to get a prescription for glasses and everything. And now she has this really, really high prescription of glasses. And I remember the conversation with her and she was like, it used to be that sitting on a computer, she had a, you know, specific things that she had to do in the computer and there were specific tasks. She's like, they used to be so simple. And now when I do them, I get massive headaches. And she's like, it's so difficult for me to do some of these basic tasks. And it's so infuriating. I remember that conversation. She was like, it's so frustrating. It's so infuriating. It's so embarrassing. Like, how come I can't do this? And I said, let's pause for a second. What season of life are you in? You just got new glasses that are very, very highly prescriptive, right? You're getting used to wearing this new thing on your face. And so you're getting headaches from the light, from wearing something, from all the stuff. Give yourself some time to adjust to this new season, right? It took her, I don't know, maybe 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. And she got, you know, adjusted to the glasses and she was fine. And she was on the computer. It was a 2 week season, right? This is another myth that happens a lot of time is sometimes we think a season, is several months or several years. Yes, some season lasts several years. I've been raising kids for the last 13 years. I still have many more years ahead of me. Certain season lasts years and decades. And then certain seasons are super short. They're like a 2 week season of a health challenge or a 3 month sprint of a health challenge. And then you're out of the season, right? So recognizing what are the specific tasks or responsibilities that have become difficult to handle during this season. Next question. Is your current workload manageable given your health condition? So manageable is up for interpretation. This is why you have to know yourself and you have to be self-aware enough to recognize what is manageable, what is not manageable, where do you want to push yourself, where do you not want to push yourself. This is why custom coaching, training, conversation and community, this is why I built Schools of Excellence, right? This is a huge reason why I built our coaching company, our Directors Inner Circle, our Owners Group, our Legacy Group, because as you navigate life, you're going to go through different seasons like this. And when you are in particular seasons, sometimes we need another person to, you know, tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, you know, the workload that you have right now is not really manageable given the health challenges that you have, given the support system that you have or don't have, right? So the community supports you in other ways. And also having mentorship and coaching who can provide a beautiful lens into the world without judgment, without anything, just this is what I'm noticing, right? Just beautiful observations. Some other questions. Are there adjustments or accommodations that could enhance your ability to perform effectively? Sometimes there's little tweaks that all of a sudden make the health challenge so much more manageable. So I remember we had a year and a half ago when we launched BetterHelp, which is an online mental health platform to our membership. And we, you know, have a special partnership with them. Our clients get the first month free with the mental health professionals. So we had a lot of clients starting to go to therapy and starting to just be aware of their struggles and where they're holding and what's going on and really, really seeking mental health support, which was just such a beautiful thing that I'm still so proud of what we've done and our continued partnership with them. Anyways, through that partnership, a couple of our clients started to recognize how their anxiety was impacting the quality of their life, was impacting their work. And we had a couple of clients who were so courageous and came into the group and shared, hey, listen, my therapist actually recommended that I go see a psychiatrist. And I went to a psychiatrist and I got a prescription for an antidepressant, for anti-anxiety medication. And since taking the medication, I'm feeling so much better. I'm feeling so much more connected to myself. I'm able to work. I'm able to do all of these things. You know, this is our roadmap, you know, we're testing it out for the next 3 months. I want to see how I'm doing. You know, I don't want to be on this medication forever, but right now this is the season of life that I'm in. And I remember reading that post and getting choked up from from so many things. The first thing is the courageousness to actually voice and share this is what's going on. And the amount of support and comments of people saying, you know, like, that's fantastic. So good for taking care of yourself. Or me too. I'm also doing that. The community was so unbelievably supportive. But the other piece there more than anything was her recognition of the season of life. Again, we sometimes look at life through dichotomies of like, oh, if I do this thing, then I'm going to have to do it forever. No, it's not. Oh, if I go see a mental health professional, now I'm going to have to see someone forever. Or if I go on medication, now I'm going to have to do this forever. What forever? It's a season. It's a season. It's a season of life. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not promoting any medication or anything here. The question I asked was, are there adjustments or accommodations that enhance your ability to perform effectively? And I hope that these questions invite you to use your discerning wisdom to think about, what do I need right now? What do I need during this season as I'm navigating this health challenge? Okay, some other questions. What coping mechanisms or stress management techniques are you currently employing? Part of having a health challenge means that you need to know how you're managing stress. And so asking yourself, what am I doing right now to manage stress a little bit better? A couple of days ago, I was in the DMs with one of our owners and I asked her, I said, you know, how are you doing mentally and physically? And she messaged me back. She says, you know, I finally realized that I really have to get my stress management curb the stress management. And she's like, I signed up for a yoga class. I've never taken yoga before and I'm so excited. And I actually am going with a childhood friend who I've actually, you know, really get to have time to spend with. And I love those. Like, those wins, like, they make my day. Like, when a client recognizes that she needs to curb her stress management, and more than anything, she also has chosen such a beautiful way to cope with it, like yoga. And now she's partnering up with a friend. So now she's fueling her emotional and social network, like, all around a win, all around amazing. And so that's her answering the question, what coping mechanisms or stress management techniques can she employ to do better? And lastly is, how do the current health challenges align with your career goals? So sometimes someone is in a particular season of a health challenge where they have to realign the career goals for that season. So maybe they have to do less. Maybe they have to, reset the targets or whatever it is. Asking yourself these questions when you are in a season of health challenges is a gift to yourself in that season and your future self. Let's look at the final season. And I know this episode is getting long and you can pause at any point and come back to it. So the season of aging parents and caretaking. So many of our clients find themselves in this season of taking care either of a spouse who isn't well, or of a parent
or of a sibling, or they're just in a caretaking role for, you know, kind of other people in their life. And so seasons of aging parents or caretaking, if even if it's not parents, of caretaking, can be extremely taxing on the mind and body. So here are some questions to help you navigate this season. Number one, are there any specific areas where you feel overwhelmed with the responsibilities that are in front of you? Part of caretaking means that you have just added, I don't know, 100 to 200 new tasks to your everyday list. I remember having a conversation with a client who was the sole caretaker to her father, who was terminally ill with cancer, and her uncle, who was also very sick. I don't remember what he was sick with, but he was also really sick. And she was the primary caretaker for both of them while she was directing four locations. So she was a regional manager for four or five locations. And she, one time when I was on a call with her and she was really overwhelmed, she had told me, she's like, you know, I have like over 200 new daily tasks that I am responsible for, given that I am the primary caretakers for these two people, right? So again, daily tasks, like she has to run to the hospital where her father is and check certain monitors and make sure he takes a certain medication. And there's, again, each of those things is a task. And for someone that already has massive mental load in operating four or five locations, adding now all of these additional responsibilities in being a caretaker, besides for the emotional and mental load, just the physical responsibilities that they're responsible for, my God, is that overwhelming, right? And so asking yourself that question, if you are in a caretaking role right now, how has your responsibilities shifted during this season? The flip side of that question is, are there time-wasting activities that could be minimized to create more time for essential responsibilities? So again, when you're in a season of taking care of aging parents or you're in a season of caretaking, there are essential responsibilities that only you can do if you're in the caretaking role. But then there are a lot of time-wasting activities that can be minimized. So asking yourself that question. Some other questions. What support systems do you currently have in place, both within your family and external networks to support you during this season? Another question. How are you prioritizing your own well-being and your own self-care amidst these caregiving responsibilities? When you are constantly pouring and taking care of aging parents or in a caretaking role, you are constantly depleting your reservoir constantly, right? Because you're constantly going and, you know, pouring into someone else. And so asking yourself the question on how am I prioritizing my own well-being amidst all of these caregiving responsibilities? Some other questions. Are there routines that can bring you joy and relaxation during this period? Are there any specific activities or rituals that can enhance family bonding? How do caregiving responsibilities impact your financial situation, and have you planned accordingly? Are there any financial resources or support systems available to assist with caregiving expenses? So these are just some of the other questions that you could be asking yourself when you're navigating a season of caretaking or living or, you know, aging parents. So let's kind of bring this all together over here, because I know this was a longer episode and I figured it would be in advance as well. So for those of you that are listening to the end, kudos to you. For those of you that are pausing or coming back, it doesn't matter. Navigating seasons of life and accepting the season of life that you're in, leaning into gratitude for whatever is happening during that particular season, and then the rebalancing of priorities is what allows you to play the long game. Again, we're playing the decades game here. And so as you play the decades game, you will find yourself in one of these seasons as you play the decades game. So whatever season you're in right now, I hope you go back to that segment of the podcast, listen to those reflective questions, take notes, journal on them, meditate on them, get clear on those things so that you know what your action steps need to be to move forward. And remember, again, respect the season of life that you're in. Do not judge yourself. Do not shame yourself. Respect the season that is in front of you right now. Thanks so much for joining me. I have a special bonus episode that we're going to be releasing that's just going to have reflective questions to ask yourself during any new season of life. So make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast. You can see when that's releasing. You can go back and listen to those episodes as well. Thanks for joining.
If you are loving the Schools of Excellence podcast and have gotten any value out of it for your school, I would love if you can do two things for me. One, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And two, can you please leave us a review? Reviews help other school leaders know that this is the place to learn how to build a school of excellence. And I would be so grateful if you can do that for us. Your help and support makes this show to be able to be listened by the thousands of other school leaders all around the world. Thanks so much for listening, for giving us your time and attention each and every week. And I appreciate that you have joined us.
Hey there, I want to invite you to join me for the Strategic Summer Workshop on Thursday, May 30th at 11:30 Eastern. You can click the link in the show notes or go to schoolsofexcellence.com/summer. In this workshop, I'm going to walk you through how to optimize your already efficient systems or help you tweak some ones that need a little bit more tweaking to help you enter the 2024-2025 school year with ease, with success, and with calmness. Increase your profitability, reduce your expenses, and more than anything, just help you buy back some of your time. I look forward to seeing you there.